Genesis chapter 39. We'll read verses 1 through 3, and then we'll read verses 20 through 23. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he do to prosper in his hand. Then in verse 20 through verse 23, and Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did, there he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not at anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Again, of course, this is a portion of the life story of Joseph. In verse 1, we see Joseph is sold into slavery. And we read in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. And then in verse 3, the presence of God with him is recognized by his master, Potiphar. So you have the fact of God's presence with Joseph, and then you have the fact confirmed by Potiphar. In verse 20, we again read of Joseph's situation. He's thrown in prison. Then in verse 21, we read, but the Lord was with Joseph. And then in verses 22 and 23, this presence of God with Joseph is recognized by the keeper of the prison. So once again, you have the fact of God's presence with Joseph stated, and then you have the fact confirmed, this time by the guard of the prison. So in both of these situations, two different events, it was outwardly evident that the Lord was with Joseph. God was with Joseph, and it was very manifest. Others could see it, that God was with Joseph. Now, Joseph's story, of course, is one of the most compelling in all the Word of God. And this statement, the Lord was with Joseph, sums up his life. It is an explanation of his life. Why did Joseph live the way he lived? The Lord was with Joseph. And I believe as you read through the story of Joseph, begins in Genesis 37, goes all the way through Genesis chapter 50. And I believe as you read through his story, you could stop at any point and you could insert this statement. The Lord was with Joseph. And it would be true. No matter where you put it in the life story of Joseph, that statement is true. The Lord was with Joseph. Again, as we said this morning, this is God's gracious presence. It was a personal presence. It was a real presence. It is the presence of relationship. It is the presence of a friend. The Lord was with Joseph. Joseph knew that. Joseph saw that. Joseph sensed that. Joseph experienced the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph lived life in God's presence. So I want to speak tonight on the importance and value of God's presence. And we see this in the life of Joseph. First of all, just think about Joseph's life. His was an extraordinary life. Outside of Jesus Christ, of course, Joseph is probably the most extraordinary individual in the Word of God. He lived an extraordinary life. And this statement, the Lord was with Joseph, explains and gives the reason for his extraordinary life. Joseph lived a model life. You take every aspect of Joseph's life as it's recorded, and every single time, Joseph is a model of living. And this statement, the Lord was with Joseph, again explains and gives the reason for that. In Joseph, we see a bright testimony. We see a demonstration of overcoming faith. We see a life of victory. And this statement, the Lord was with Joseph, explains that life, gives us the reason for that life. Joseph's life serves as a shining example. And again, this statement, the Lord was with Joseph, explains that life, gives the reason for that life. Joseph's life was a life that was an influence of good. It made a difference. His life was a life that made a difference in the lives of others. And again, this statement, the Lord was with Joseph, explains that life. Joseph's life was a life of power. Joseph's life was a life of spiritual prosperity. And again, this statement explains his life. You think about Joseph, his life was marked by faithfulness. His life was marked by steadfastness. His life was marked by commitment to God. And here's the reason. The Lord was with Joseph. Joseph is the most complete type of Jesus Christ. Joseph's life was a life of conformity to Jesus Christ. And again, the reason, the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph's life is a mark of consistency. Regardless of his circumstances, Joseph was consistent. And again, this statement explains why he was consistent. You think about Joseph, he's a man who personally experienced pain, turmoil, hatred, resentment, betrayal, conspiracy, rejection, exile, poverty, slavery, slander, temptation, imprisonment, ingratitude, disappointment. He also experienced riches and power and influence. His life is marked by extreme circumstances. His life is marked by extreme changes. And in the wide variety of Joseph's circumstances, Joseph rises above it all. The reason? the Lord was with Joseph. You look at Joseph's life, hardship did not harden his heart. Wealth and power did not corrupt him. And whether it was hardship or riches and power, there was no record of Joseph wavering, no record of him falling, no record of him complaining, no record of him compromising. And this statement explains it. The Lord was with Joseph. In times of hardship, Joseph's testimony was bright in dark circumstances. In times of great wealth, in times of great power, Joseph's testimony remained intact. The reason, again, the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph's position in life greatly varied. But regardless of his position, he did what was right. And he remained committed to God. So your position, your condition, your circumstance does not give you license to do what's wrong. And Joseph is an example in that. Joseph experienced this presence of God. And no doubt it inspired Joseph. It provoked Joseph. It stimulated Joseph. And again, you can pause at any point in Joseph's life as it's presented in Genesis and insert this statement, the Lord was with Joseph. It's the overriding factor in his life. And it was the presence of God in his life that transformed the atmosphere of his entire life. Wherever you find Joseph, whether it's in Potiphar's house as a slave, whether it's in prison, or whether it's in charge of the wealth of Egypt, it was God's presence that changed the atmosphere of wherever Joseph was. And it enabled Joseph to live in a different atmosphere than everyone else. All the importance and the value of God's presence. Now we want to look at this presence of God in the happenings of Joseph's life. First of all, consider Joseph's family. And we've brought this out in the past. It's something that I bring to people's attention often, if I'm doing counseling and they start blaming their life on their family and the dysfunction of their family, I know of a family that's even more dysfunctional than the dysfunction that goes on today, and that's Joseph's family. And Joseph rose above it all. Joseph was born into a family embroiled in controversy and dissension. It was a family that was marked by immorality, turmoil, vice, jealousy, bitterness, anger, and violence. This is the family that Joseph was born into. You and I have no choice of the family we're born into. But Joseph rose above it all. And the reason, the Lord was with Joseph. So you think about the family that Joseph was born into. Before Joseph was ever born, his father Jacob fell in love with his cousin. Something sick about that. There was a girl named Rachel. And he agreed to work for her. and his uncle Laban. He worked for his uncle for 7 years. When the wedding day arrives, Laban tricks Jacob and gives him Leah, also his cousin. Jacob spends his wedding night with Leah. In the morning, he discovers that he's been tricked. He confronts his uncle, Laban, who agrees to let Jacob have Rachel in exchange for 7 more years of work. He didn't have to wait the 7 years to marry Rachel. He married her the next week. So within a week, Jacob has 2 young wives who are sisters and who are his cousins. That's pretty dysfunctional. And that would set the stage for jealousy, bitterness, and anger. So there he is, he's married to Leah and Rachel. It isn't long, and Leah becomes pregnant. Not once, but 4 times. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. One after another. We read that in Genesis 29. Rachel, on the other hand, is still without child. So she takes matters into her own hands and gives to Jacob her handmaid, Bilhah. The reason is so they could have children in her place. And Bilhah has 2 sons by Jacob, Dan and Naphtali. Leah sees this, so she gives her handmaid, Zilpah, to Jacob to have children. And she has 2 sons by Jacob, Gad and Asher. After a time, Leah has 3 more children by Jacob, Issachar, Zebulon, and a daughter named Dinah. So Jacob now has 10 sons, 1 daughter, and Rachel is still barren. But to her, of course, would be born Joseph, and he would be Jacob's 11th son. Also born to her would be Benjamin. So here's the picture. Joseph's mother is his second cousin. He has 3 stepmothers. He has 10 half-brothers, 1 half-sister, and 1 brother, Benjamin. What a mess. I mean, this is a mess. It does not appear, if you just look at this picture, it does not appear that there's much hope for his future. There have been many times that I've visited the birthing room and thought, Lord, help this poor child because of the family that he or she is born into. And that's their only hope. In Genesis 37, Joseph is brought before us at the age of 17. In his formative years, we're in a home marked by sin. Rape went on, incest went on. We don't have the time to go into all the examples, but that would have gone on during Joseph's formative years. So during his formative years, his home was marked by sin and sadness and strife and struggles. He lived in an atmosphere of immorality and rape and murder and incest, betrayal and idolatry and jealousy and turmoil and anger and hatred and death. He had a tragic family background. His was a family rooted deep in dysfunction. But Joseph would rise above the dysfunction that surrounded him. The reason? The Lord was with Joseph. And you start to think about Joseph's family. It's really an amazing thing that the sanity and the emotions of Joseph remained intact. That's really pretty amazing. But the Lord was with Joseph, which shows us again the importance and the value of the presence of the Lord. In Genesis 37, again, Joseph is 17 years old. He's the object of hatred and jealousy by his brothers. We know the story. Joseph had God-given dreams that his brothers would bow down to him. And they would. We read in Genesis 37 in verse 4 that Joseph's brothers hated him and could not. Because of their hatred, they could not speak peaceably unto him. How long did that go on? I don't know. But that just adds to Joseph's family life. And in verse 11, we read that his brothers envied him. So he was hated and envied by his own brothers. And one day, when Joseph again was 17 years old, his father Jacob tells Joseph to go out and see how his brothers were doing in the field. Joseph goes out, he finds his brothers in Dothan. And as Joseph is approaching them, they, in hatred and jealousy, conspire to kill him. We ought to just kill him. But Reuben, the oldest of the brothers, convinced his brothers not to kill Joseph. They would have otherwise. We read in verse 23 of Genesis 37, and it came to pass. And then we read of how Joseph's brothers stripped him of his coat, cast him into a pit, which was basically a well that had no water in it. And they sat there eating and drinking, trying to figure out what to do with Joseph. At that time, some Ishmaelites come by and they sell Joseph. They sell him like he's cattle. For 20 pieces of silver. In verse 28 of Genesis 37, they brought Joseph into Egypt. That is, these Ishmaelites. So there is Joseph. His coat has been stripped. He has been betrayed by the people who should have loved him. It appears that all his God-given dreams have been shattered. And there is Joseph, no doubt feeling sorrow, no doubt experiencing heartache and the indignity of being hated and conspired against, betrayed, assaulted, and sold by his own brothers. We read in Acts chapter 7, verse 9, and the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. But God was with him. All the importance and the value of the presence of God. Joseph's in Egypt. He's brought to the slave market. And a man by the name of Potiphar. Potiphar just so happened to be the head of the royal bodyguard. And he is sold to Potiphar. He's a slave. So there's Joseph, hated, conspired against, betrayed, assaulted, sold by his own brothers, far away from home. This is a very dark and confusing time in his life. We read in Genesis 39, verse 1, we read of the situation, how he was brought down to Egypt and Potiphar bought him. And then it just says, and the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord kept Joseph company. What a blessing when God keeps you company. So there's Joseph in a strange house, in a strange land, away from everything that he knows, and the Lord was with him. The Lord's keeping him company. And as time went on, Potiphar could see that Joseph was much different than all of his other slaves. He could see the Lord was with Joseph. In other words, there was a manifestation of God upon Joseph's life. When the world can look at you and see there is a difference, that there is a manifestation of God upon your life. That's what Potiphar saw. As a result, we see that Joseph in verse 4 found grace in his sight, and he served him. And Potiphar made him overseer over his house and all that he had put in his hand. Gave him authority. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. Why? For Joseph's sake. Not because of Potiphar, but for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And notice, and he, Potiphar, left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And here's the degree that he did this, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. Potiphar just turns everything over to Joseph. So much so that Potiphar doesn't even know what he has, other than the meal that was put before him. He's placed complete trust in this slave. So Joseph is sold to Potiphar at the age of 17. And if you follow the story, I believe it's safe to say that Joseph would serve in Potiphar's house for 10 years. What do you base that on? Well, he was 17 when he was sold to Potiphar. Chapter 41, verse 46. He was 30 when he stood before Pharaoh. So that's 13 years 17 to 30. I believe he was in Potiphar's house for 10 years. He was put in prison. There he would interpret the dreams of the butler and the baker. And you remember the butler was released from prison. And after 2 years, the butler remembered Joseph. I believe the dreams were interpreted the first year Joseph was in prison, and then there was 2 more years. That's 3 years. So you have Joseph in the house of Potiphar from the age of 17 to 27. And then 3 years in prison. 10 years in the house of Potiphar as a slave. But not just a slave, a blessed slave. And the reason? The Lord was with Joseph. You see, even in the house of slavery, the atmosphere was changed because the Lord was with Joseph. Oh, the importance and the value of the presence of the Lord. Well, while Joseph was in Potiphar's house, Mrs. Potiphar, we'll call her, was, of course, an influential woman. Humanly speaking, from human appearance, she had power to enhance Joseph's life. And she had power to ruin his life. We read in verse 7, that she cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." We read in verse 8, and he refused. Now he'd be about 27 at this time. Well, we don't know how long the temptation went on. But he refused. The Lord was with Joseph. Again, Joseph might think, this woman, she can ruin me. But he refused. Verse 10, we see that this continued day by day. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or be with her. Joseph was able to rise above this devilish, immoral, shameless woman. Why? The Lord was with Joseph. Verse 12. She caught him by his garment. You see, the temptation or the attack is getting more and more severe. First, she cast her eyes upon him. Then she speaks to him day by day. And then one day, she just grabs his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he fled and got him out. The reason? The Lord was with Joseph. What you have here is Satan trying to bring Joseph down. But Joseph rises above all the attacks of Satan. The reason? The Lord was with Joseph. And in this day of satanic attack that you and I live in, all the importance and the value of the presence of God. Well, next, Joseph is falsely accused and cast into prison. Mrs. Potiphar makes a false accusation against Joseph. And we read in verse 19, and it came to pass. And then we read that Potiphar believes his wife, and in verse 20, put him into prison, where the king's prisoners were bound. And then notice what it says, and he was there in the prison. And he was there in the prison. And then the next words, verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. So one day, he's in Potiphar's house, has Potiphar's estate manager, basically. And the next day, he's in prison as a criminal. 10 years of honesty, 10 years of hard work, and it's all gone. All gone. We read in Psalm 105 and verse 18 concerning Joseph, whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron. So there's Joseph, hated, conspired against, mistreated, betrayed by his own brothers. As a result, he's separated from his father and the life that he was accustomed to. A slave in a strange land. And now he's in shackles in a dark dungeon. Not because of any wrongdoing, but because of a false accusation of an evil woman. We read in verse 21 again, but the Lord was with Joseph. But the Lord was with Joseph. And I believe if you were able to look into that prison, you can see Joseph. He's bound with chains. He's bound with iron. But he's not forlorn. He's not griping. He's not complaining. He's not fussing. And perhaps the most miraculous thing of all, he's not bitter. And he's not sitting in that prison tallying up scores. This is what the evil do. He's not focused upon the wrongs. His brothers sold him. Mrs. Potiphar made a false accusation. He's not focused upon the wrongs. He's not focused upon the slights that he's experienced. And believe it or not, he's not absorbed in self-pity. But instead, I believe he's focused upon living life for God. Why? How could he do that? For the Lord was with Joseph. How could he not be bitter? Joseph, you have every right to be angry. You have every right to be bitter. No, you really don't have a right to be bitter. Because bitterness is sin. You don't have that right. But of course, that's where most people sink. They sink into bitterness. And they justify their bitterness. And Joseph could have sat in that prison thinking about, I'm going to get revenge. But he didn't do any of those things. And the reason? The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And I believe Joseph just remain focused upon living his life for God. Here I am in this prison. I've been done wrong. But I'm going to live for God. I'm going to be the best that I can be. There's only one way you do that, and that's if God is with you in a special way. Once again, Joseph flourishes in prison. The prison guard sees that Joseph is different than all the other prisoners. And what does he do? He puts him in charge of the prison. Joseph prospers in prison. It's no matter where you put Joseph, he prospers. You put him in Potiphar's house as a slave, and he prospers. Because Potiphar could see God was with Joseph. You put him in prison, and he flourishes. Because God was with Joseph. That ought to be our life. Whatever our circumstances. That we would flourish spiritually. And the only way to do that is if God is with you. By His special, gracious presence. Now we know the story. While Joseph is in prison, there's two prisoners. There's Pharaoh's butler and Pharaoh's baker. And they have dreams. And they ask Joseph to interpret the dreams. The dream of the baker was that Joseph interpreted that you'll be hanged. Joseph interprets the dream of the butler. You're going to be released from prison. So the baker is hanged. The butler is released. And Joseph says to the butler, Genesis 40, verse 14, think on me when it shall be well with thee. Don't forget me. What he's saying is, if you have a chance, tell Pharaoh about me in this prison. Speak of Pharaoh. Speak of me to Pharaoh, that I too may be released. And after the butler was released, 2 years passed before the butler remembered Joseph. You remember what happened? Pharaoh had a dream. And then the butler, oh yeah, I remember that man in the prison who interprets dreams. And he tells Pharaoh. But 2 more years had passed. So Joseph has been forgotten for 2 years. It's not a pleasant thing to be forgotten. Joseph was forgotten. Again, reason for most to get bitter. Reason for most to become vengeful. But not Joseph. Because the Lord was with Joseph. So there he sat for 2 more years. Well, in Genesis 41... Verses 41 through 44, Joseph is delivered. In verse 41, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Wow. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. He made him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. He was given authority over all the land. He was given authority over all the treasures of Egypt. So now we see Joseph. He's in prosperity. He has been brought from being a slave in Potiphar's house. He has been brought from prison, and now he's a ruler over all the land of Egypt. Time of prosperity, time of promotion. I want to tell you something that most people, most of God's people, will fall in the time of prosperity and promotion. Not Joseph. Because the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph, even in prosperity, remained faithful and committed to God. Again, all the importance and the value of God's presence. The Lord was with Joseph. You and I, we have no idea of how many twists and turns the road may take. But you look at the life of Joseph, and here's a man who traveled a road that had many twists, many curves. From one extreme to another. And yet, he remained faithful and committed to God. The reason? The Lord was with Joseph. And you and I have no idea, again, how many twists and turns our road may take. But desire and pursue the presence of God. Plead with God for His presence. In every season of our life, in every chapter of our life. Again, our life is like a book, it's like a story. And there are many different chapters in the story. Not all the chapters are the same. Not all the chapters are pleasant. But seek God's presence in every chapter of your life, in every season of your life, in every event of your life, in every occurrence of your life. All the importance and the value of the presence of God. Ask God every day to go with you. Every day. Every circumstance. You may find yourself in some terrible places. You may find yourself giving over to the root of bitterness. That's when you need to plead, Lord, you need to be with me. Go with me. Because I want to tell you something. You get bitter, it'll destroy you. But not only that, you'll receive encouragement to remain bitter from God's people. That's the truth. But this will cure it. The Lord was with Joseph. Anybody who encourages me to be bitter, doesn't matter about what. That's not even the issue. Doesn't matter. Anybody who encourages me in any way to be bitter or to stay bitter is not a friend. That is not a friend. Because bitterness will kill you. It'll ruin you. But here's the cure. The Lord was with Joseph. And we know the end of the story, how he reveals himself to his brothers, how he shows kindness to his brothers. The only way Joseph did that was because of the presence of God in his life. So, oh, that we might pray that God would go with us. Brother Mike, would you dismiss us for a word of prayer?